Bible. We're going to leave the lights off. You can read with me. They might have it on the screen. I'm just going to read through it and then give you guys something that we're going to talk and share about. So it says in verse 39, "And he," this is Jesus, "came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me.'" Jesus speaking of the cross that was coming up. "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." So this is one of the many areas where Jesus, who was fully God but also came to live fully as a man, where he identifies with us. Because at this moment in time, he had this choice to make, the same choice that we have so often in our lives, and that is, are we going to surrender and to submit to God's will, or are we going to do what we want to do? And that can be a difficult decision, especially when you're faced with difficulty or adversity, such as Jesus was here. But Jesus, he shows complete trust and faith in God the Father in being willing to go through what he went through on the cross, him being God, in equal with God, fully knowing what was to come, all the suffering that was going to happen. And knowing that he went through that for me, for you, for every person in this world, and the good that that's amounted to in our lives personally, first in saving us from our sin and setting us free, but then all of the good that that's amounted to in our lives, the hope that it's given us that we didn't have before, when you consider those things, it should really make us ask ourselves, is there anything that I shouldn't be willing to do for God if he asked me to? Because surely he loves me, and he's more than demonstrated that. He hasn't said it, he's just said it. He's demonstrated it on the cross, that I am of so much value to him and that he was willing to give his son. And the reason I point that out, and this is going to be the first thing that we're just going to spend some time reflecting on, because everything that we do in our lives for the Lord, every change that we allow him to make, it comes in response to everything that he's done for us. And that's one of the reasons why we never want to grow insensitive to the cross, to Jesus' sacrifice. Actually, what I've experienced in my life and following Jesus for over 25 years now is that as he lets me understand to a greater degree who he is, that to a greater degree I understand that sacrifice. And to a greater degree, I just want to give him every part of my life and not hold anything back. So let's just spend a moment here reflecting on that truth of what Jesus gave for us and what that's meant for us in our lives, and ask ourselves, are we really in a place of being willing to give whatever you want, Lord? I don't want to hold anything back from you because you gave everything for me. And also take the time to praise him through song for that sacrifice that he's made, that he was willing to give everything, his whole life, so that we could be forgiven of our sin and made right with God and spend eternity with him. Amen. Lord God, thank you so much. Father, we read this, and many of us have read this over and over again, Lord, but tonight we're asking that it's like we are understanding it for the first time. Would it be like that for us? Because truly, Lord, the truth of the fact that God in the flesh was willing to die for me, for us, especially knowing how undeserving I am of that sacrifice. I didn't do anything to deserve to be saved. I was in rebellion against you when you came and saved me. You love me so I could love you. And knowing these truths, it makes it all the more amazing, all the more of a sacrifice. And maybe even tonight, this weekend, you help us understand that in some way to an even greater degree, Lord. And because you didn't hold anything back, you fully knew what was coming at the cross, and you were still willing to go through with it and give everything for me, for my brothers and sisters here. Because you were willing to give everything for us, Lord, we certainly want to give everything to you. Because if you love us that much, anything you have for us is obviously going to be way better than we can imagine. You say that in your word, and we've seen it proved to be true in our lives. But Lord, if we're holding anything back, help us not. Help us know what those things are, and help us just lay them at your feet so we can know you and have all of you in everything that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can sit and stand as you want. We're going to read another section here. Going on in verse 47, says, while he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. And he drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, no, more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. And then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour in the power of darkness. And then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. And then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, this man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him. They beat as they beat him. And they also blindfolded him and kept asking him, prophesy, who is it that struck you? And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. When we look at this section, we see, sadly, the very people that Jesus came to save come against him. And in Judas's case, betray him. And in Peter's case, deny him. Which when we read this and we know who Jesus is and we know what he did, it can seem unthinkable that they would do this to him. But the reality is that I was just as against him as well when my sin nailed him to that cross. And every time I choose to follow my flesh instead of following the Lord, I'm also betraying him. And every time I choose not to share my faith with someone, I too am just as guilty of being the one that denies Jesus. Yet he paid for those sins among my many others on the cross, and in doing so, showing me that even though by my words or actions, I'm not always for him, he's always for and never against me. Or that when I'm faithless, he's always going to be faithful, as he says in 2 Timothy 2:13. And that truly is amazing grace that the Lord shows us and will show us every day of our lives. It tells us in Lamentations 3:23, great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Lord, I'm so thankful for that truth. Because each day I blow it. Yet you went through what you went through on that cross, knowing that I would blow it, that I wouldn't be perfect in my actions and in my words, that I would still be somebody that you needed to be with and help and work those things that aren't good out of me. You've made that commitment to each one of us that have placed our faith in you that you will finish the work that you started and you will never give up on us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. That is a mercy that we cannot find anywhere else in this universe other than you. And we are so thankful we have found that, Lord. Maybe some of us came here today feeling that somehow we've blown it, we've let the Lord down. But the reality is because Jesus is perfect and because he perfectly paid for each and every sin we've ever done and ever will do, all God sees is his righteousness in you. Jesus took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. And even though practically we're very much being made perfect, as far as God's concerned, we're already there. Thank you for that truth, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just reflect on that and continue to praise the Lord. And to praise the Lord for all he's done for you. Just whatever comes to your mind, something that you're thankful for, that your salvation, him saving you, has led to in your life. Just thank him for it so we can agree with you. It goes on in verse 66, you guys can take a seat. It says, when day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council, and they said, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God. So they all said, are you the Son of God then? And he said to them, you say that I am. And then they said, what further testimony do we need? We've heard it ourselves from his own lips. Moving on to chapter 23. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him, you have said so. And then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, I find no guilt in this man. But they were urgent, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place. And when Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. And then arraying him in a splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and he said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people, and after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him, and I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. And Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. The religious leaders in Pilate, among others here, being blinded from seeing Jesus' deity and their need for his help because of their pride and their self-righteousness and thinking that somehow they were good in themselves or by their own actions. So instead of looking to Jesus to save them, they decided to crucify him, or they basically tried to get rid of him so they wouldn't have to address the problems that his words posed for them. But the reality is, you can never get rid of God, as they found out shortly after this when he rose from the dead. You see, God made us in this universe, and the evidence of him is present all around us at all times. And we can't pretend that sin isn't there in our lives, because it's only a matter of time before the consequences of it rear their ugly heads. So instead of trying to deny Jesus, the better choice is always to humbly acknowledge our need for him daily to save us, to help us, which is one of the things that God accomplished on that cross. Because through being made right with God and having a relationship with God, we now have access to God at all times, anywhere. And as his word says, we can boldly come before him. We don't have to cower. He is God, and we are to be reverent, but he also tells us to call him Abba, Father. And just as a child should go to their father for help, Jesus's work on the cross allows us to go to him for help. And so that is something that we should be constantly asking ourselves, because we've been given this great privilege of not having to go through this life alone anymore. Never having to try to tackle anything in this life by ourselves, especially the things that seem hard and impossible. We can be 100% reliant on the one who knows all things and can move the biggest mountains for us. And so as we go into another time of reflection, let's just think about that. Am I relying on God as I should be in my life? Maybe you came here struggling tonight with something, and that's the simple reason, because so often we try to do it ourselves. Even though we're saved and even though we have access to God, we don't rely on him like we should. And the cool thing is, all you have to do is ask, and he's more than willing to be there and help and answer however needed. Amen? So let's praise him for that, and let's reflect on that. so much, Father, for the access we've been given to you through Jesus. Lord, before you came into my life, I felt very much alone. And sometimes we can still feel that way, even though your word says that we're never alone. You're always there. We want to be aware of your presence. We want to be present with you so we know you're here and we're involving you in every aspect of our lives. You've given us this great privilege, and we know it cost you dearly to do it. And the main reason you did it is because you loved us so much. You wanted to know us. You wanted that relationship. As Jesus says, we're not just your creation. He calls us friends. He loves us and he likes us. He wants to be with us. And we're thankful that we can be here tonight and know that your presence is with us, and that even if we've been failing to rely on you, all we have to do is look to you right now and ask for your help. And you're there, always willing and ready to be whatever we need you to be, Lord. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Going on in verse 26, and it says, and as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. John 19:17 telling us that for a portion of this way he went to be crucified, Jesus himself carried this cross. This is the cross that he later died on, where he took upon himself all the sins of mankind so that the just penalty for them could be paid for in full. As it tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. He took that wage our sin deserved on that cross so that in return we could get the free gift of eternal life. Now the difference here in verse 26 between Simon and Jesus is that Simon was forced to carry this cross, whereas Jesus willingly carried and died on it. He willingly died in our place. He who knew no sin took upon my sin, our sins upon himself, so we wouldn't have to, all because, as John 3:16 says, of God's great love for us. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 16:24-26, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? A good thing to reflect on often is this question Jesus poses here, and that is, does Jesus have our life? We've seen it over and over again that he was willing to give his life. He didn't hold anything back to show us how much he loved us so that we could trust him and not hold anything back from him. And the reason for that is, like he says in that passage in Matthew 16:24-26, if we try to live the way we want, we're never going to find the life we're looking for. It isn't until we let go and give our lives to God fully so that we can surrender and know his good, pleasing, and perfect will, as Romans 12:2 says, and let him lead us, that we will find the life we all desire in Jesus, in God's will for us. So let's just take some time to reflect on that and ask God, have I given you my life, Lord? Am I holding anything back? Because I don't want to miss out on what you have for me. And every time we do that, we see, even in the instances where we don't understand exactly why God's asking us to do what he's doing, or it feels like something that I don't know if I can trust you with this, God. This seems, I don't know how this is going to work out. But every time we do it, every time we have that faith to trust and obey, we always see that he had something way bigger planned, way better planned than we ever could have imagined. And maybe that's even a word for somebody tonight, because there's something the Lord's asking you to do and you're afraid to say yes. But you just got to take that step of faith. And I guarantee when you come out at the other end, you're going to be in awe. Because God's going to have done exceedingly more than you might have asked or thought. It'll be way better than you could have ever imagined. Lord God, thank you so much for giving it all for us, Lord. Lord, when we look at, when we're reminded as we are tonight of the cross, and we think of what you ask us to give sometimes, it pales in comparison to what you gave for us. You're never asking us to give anything up in reality, because what we get in return from you is always far greater. But you demonstrated in giving yourself how much you loved us so that we'd be willing to trust you no matter what it is you're asking. And we want to do that, Lord. You say in your word that you have a good, pleasing, and perfect will for us. That's what we want in our life. Anytime we're making a decision, it's because we want good, pleasing, and perfect things. But we've already come to find out that no matter how hard we try, we don't always make decisions that lead to that. So we need you. Your will's always that. And we want to follow it. And we're thankful that you're there to help guide us and lead us into your good, pleasing, and perfect will, Lord, because I'm clueless a lot of the time. But I want to look to you, and I want to surrender to you so that I can follow, so that you can lead. I don't want to be that horse that's just fighting. I want to be the one that's following. Help us be those that follow, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Starting in verse 27, it says, "And there followed him a great multitude of the people, and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?' Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' There was also an inscription over him, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" This is really amazing, because even in the midst of this extreme suffering that Jesus was going through, this intense humiliation, we see him show great compassion for others and being concerned with these people around him rather than him self. And he sets an example for us that in the same way, we should be more concerned with the things of God's kingdom, with those around us, with spiritual things, than the cares of this world, which is passing away so quickly. Jesus giving the hope of heaven to this repentant criminal that was dying right beside him, that had no time to do anything at all other than believe in Jesus by faith. And that same hope of heaven is where God wants our focus to be, knowing that we're on our way there. And that's where we're going to be spending eternity, which is a whole lot longer than the short time we're on this earth. And Jesus secured that for us on this cross. Paul tells us in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Oh, Father, we thank you for that truth. We thank you that we're a part of your kingdom now. We see how quickly this world is going down. We see that even the things that aren't bad in themselves are tainted by sin eventually. And we know that from your word, it's just going to keep on getting worse and worse until you come back and set things right. And we look forward to that day. We know that it's coming soon. Whether we go to you or you come to us, that is where we are ending up. And when we're there, truly, everything will be as you intended it to be. There will be no more pain. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more suffering. All the things that are hard, all the things that make this life difficult, they will be gone forever. And that's our hope, Lord. No matter what is right in front of us, that also is at the end of our race. And that's where we want to keep our focus. So we look right past all of the stuff right in front of us now, and we keep our gaze fixed on you, because we're getting closer to you every day. Help us keep our hope and our focus in the right things, and not worry about these trivial things around us that they're here today, but they're not going to be here tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's praise the Lord for the hope of heaven. Verse 44 says, it was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath day, they rested according to the commandment. So Jesus died, and he was buried. Somebody had to die to pay the just penalty our sins deserved, and Jesus did it. And even though that sounds like horrible news, God says it's meant to be good news for us that believe it and have received Jesus and asked him to save us from our sin and be Lord of our lives. Because just as that curtain of the temple was torn in two, that was a place of separation between God's presence and people, the separation between God and us has been removed. And through faith in Jesus, we've been made right in God's eyes, and our relationship with him has been restored for all eternity, and that is absolutely great news. Amen. So what we're going to do now is we're going to reflect on that truth and also keep in mind that Sunday's coming. It's just around the corner. And during this next song, we're going to grab communion elements, and I'm going to ask you to hold those because we're going to take communion together as a family. So let's go ahead and praise the Lord and reflect on this truth of what he's done for us, and grab these elements during this song. Lord God, we thank you so much that you were willing to do what no one else could do. You didn't have to do it, but you did it. There is no way that I ever could have been right enough in my own power, in my own actions, to be restored to God, to have a relationship with God. So you did what I couldn't do because of your great love for me, and you did this for all of us. And we stand here today restored in fellowship with our Creator, with God, who's now our Father, and we are his children, a part of his family for all eternity because of you, Jesus. And we give you praise for it because it's all because of you. And you deserve all of our worship for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." And some people think this verse speaks of our worthiness when it comes to whether or not we're worthy to taking the communion elements, whether we're good enough or not good enough, and whether we've done enough or whatever. And really what it comes down to is none of us could ever be worthy, could we? We could never do enough to make ourselves worthy of the Lord Jesus. But rather what this speaks of is taking the communion elements. In other words, proclaiming the Lord's death and acknowledging that, yes, Jesus died. Yes, Jesus' blood was poured out for me, but not believing that for yourself personally. In other words, you're saying, "Well, I believe he did it, but I don't really believe it for myself. I don't think I really need it. I mean, I'll drink the bread and, or I'll eat the bread and drink the cup, but it doesn't really mean that much to me." And that's eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. And so I guess what I want to do is just suggest that, like it says here, is let us examine ourselves tonight. Amen. Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus? Have you trusted in him for forgiveness of sins? And if you haven't made that choice in your heart, I would recommend not taking communion. I mean, the Bible here gives us a pretty stern warning against it, and even warns against it. But even better, I would invite you to just believe in the Lord Jesus right now. Put your faith in him right now, tonight. And these sections that we've just read together tell us of the pain and the torture that the Lord went through for me and for you. And all you have to do to accept the free gift of salvation that Jesus offers is just with a simple prayer and just say, yes, Lord, I want to be saved. Yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And so let's just do that right now. Let's just, maybe under your breath, maybe in your heart, just a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me. Please forgive me. Please come into my life and help me to follow you all my days. Amen. Amen. And if you just pray a simple prayer like that, I know there's a lot of familiar faces in here tonight. I know a lot of you guys, but tonight could be the night. You're born again, and you can take communion with us in a worthy manner. Amen. And Jesus says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so, guys, let's just take the little cracker we have and just hold that in your hands and break that. Just break it in half. And feel that broken edge of that cracker. And that is a representative of Jesus' body broken for us. And, Lord, we just recognize together tonight that you were beaten and bruised and mistreated and humiliated for us. And Lord, we can do nothing but just sit here or stand here and just say thank you. And Lord, just like this section says, we proclaim the Lord's death until you come. Lord, that's what we're doing. We're proclaiming it to ourselves, reminding of ourselves, doing it in remembrance of you, remembering what you did, your body broken for us, Lord. And we just thank you. Let's take the bread together, church. And as we hold the cup, which represents your blood, we remember your words, Lord. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And we know the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Oh, Lord, how we need forgiveness of sins. How we need it. We thank you that you were willing to shed your blood for our sins, for my sins, Lord, and that it was sufficient to cover them, Lord, that it was sufficient to take away our sins, pay the price that I could never pay. And so together, Lord, we just remember tonight your blood shed for us for the remission of our sins. We thank you, Lord. Let's drink together. And Lord, after eating of your body and drinking of your blood, I just can't help but think of just the picture, the representation, the thought of your blood running through my veins, your body in mine, you living through me, Lord. How amazing. What an amazing thought. The light of Christ shining through my life into this dark world. The light of Christ shining through each one of us who's put our faith in you and lives by you, Lord Jesus. What an amazing thing. I can't even comprehend it, can't even understand it, don't even know how it works, but how amazing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your life. And Lord, we just praise you tonight. And we all agree, and everyone said, amen. Amen. I think we're going to have one more song.
So thankful for that truth, Lord, that Pastor Eric shared about you living within us, Lord. That's the reality. You rose from the dead to live again and live inside of us until that day you return. And because of that, we can know that you want to magnify yourself through our lives as you empower us to be your witnesses in this world so that others can have the same hope that we've been given in Jesus, so others can have the same salvation we've been given, so that others can experience the same love of God that we have. And Lord, we want to pray, especially this weekend when we know that people are more open to hearing about Jesus, hearing the gospel and coming to a church service where they get to hear the word of God proclaimed that has the words of life, as Peter said, Lord. We're excited. Some of us maybe even got saved on an Easter weekend at an Easter service, Lord. But we ask that you would go before all of those churches that are teaching the good news of your word this Sunday. And you would draw people in. You would bring those that need to know who Jesus Christ is and that are ready to receive him as their Savior and their Lord. Lord, would you bring those people to us? You said we'd be the light of the world. May we act like a light in the darkness that draws people in and help us see those people that need you and invite them, offer to bring them to church with us. We pray that you would pour your spirit out in the next couple days that had never been seen in the history of this world. And there would be a great returning to Jesus. And we pray these things in faith because we know that your desire is that none shall perish and all shall come to repentance. You desire to do this, Lord. So we ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, can I exhort you in something really quick? It was one person inviting me to a basketball ministry that led to me being saved. That's how I got introduced to Jesus. And I stand here just as a product of his grace, but that's where it started. So that person in your life, your neighbor, your coworker, your friend that doesn't know the Lord currently, it might be your invitation, you inviting them to church this Sunday that God uses to save them as well. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. See you Sunday.